Welcome to tape two of our session, What is a Child? Let's now join Barbara Smiley, already in progress.
Okay, I was talking in the hall about choice, how important it is to give children choices. Children, once they reach the age of 3 to 5, want choices. They don't feel like they have any say-so in their life, and by that point, they haven't figured out that they have total say-so. So they start acting out, usually between 3 and 5. So it's important that you give them choices at that point. So, how do you give a child a choice? This all goes with teaching responsibility. What kind of choices can you give a 3-year-old? Do you want to wear this or do you want to wear that? You don't say, what do you want to wear today? Because there's too much in their closet for them to pick. They can't possibly come up with anything intelligent. So you give them a choice. You want to wear this? You want to wear that? You want to eat this or do you want to eat that? Do you want to pack this for your lunch or do you want to pack that for your lunch? Do you want to wear these sneakers or that sneakers? Do you want to swing on this swing or on that swing? Now, what about when there's really no choice? I wish it could be different. Okay. But what if they're running around the house and you need them to calm down right at that minute?
Put them in timeout.
Before you give them a choice? No. You give them a choice. Either you calm down here or you calm down there. Where would you like to calm down? You're going to calm down. That's not the choice, right? You're going to calm down. Do you want to do it here on your own or do you want to do it in your room? Do you want to do it here on your own or do you want to do it in timeout? Which do you prefer? And then what if they don't calm down? What do you do? You made your choice. Here's your choice. Maybe next time you'll do it differently, but this time this is the way that you chose to do it. What does that teach them?
Responsibility and consequences.
That for every action there is a reaction, that they really do have some power, some control in their life.
Do you have to have a choice? Do you always have to have a choice? What if you have a special occasion and you have to wear this outfit today? Tomorrow you can choose, but today it's important.
Then there is no choice.
For that,
I'm really sorry, there is no choice today. Right now there's no choice. When we come home from the pictures, you can have all the choices you want, but this is what you get to wear. What socks do you want to wear with it? These black ones or these black ones? Which pair would you like to wear? You can always come up with a choice. Which overcoat do you want to wear? This one or that one? Which hat do you want to wear that we can take off when we get there? This one or that one? There's always a choice that you can give. Because if you don't give a 6-year-old choices, you're going to have a rebellion on your hands. They want to have some say-so over something. They're in kindergarten or they're in first grade. They're told what to do all day, every day. They get home. They're tired of being told what to do. They're just tired of it. And you'll have a raving maniac on your hands if you don't adjust to, okay, now we have to start some choices here. Do you want to set the table or do you want to set the table?
Well, that's what
do you want to set the forks or do you want to set the plate? Which do you want to set? I don't want to do either.
Then what do you
do? If you want to eat, you either set the table, you either set the forks, or you set the or you set the plate.
I feel like they haven't gotten to, I'm the adult, you're the child, and work.
Because the problem is that parents are not willing to go through with what they say. So if you give a choice, they can't throw in a third choice and have you say, okay, that's a good choice. I mean, later they can. Later you can say, what do you want to wear today? And if you know that they don't have any concept about shirts and matching shirts to pants, then you give them a choice about pants and two different shirts. You understand? But the important thing is that you give them choices. That's important as well when you're an adult, when you have adult children. Adult children don't want to be told what to do. You know, as adult children, you don't want your parents calling you, telling you what to do. You want to be given a little latitude.
Stephen. Most of the time, dress is fine, but every once in a while, he'll put something together that really clashes.
Right.
And I don't think I'm doing it too well. It keeps recurring.
Right.
If what I've been telling him is it doesn't match, let's go find another shirt that goes with it. Well, I don't know what goes with it. He'll start to get upset. And sometimes I will give him choices.
Do you lay out your clothes in the morning or the evening?
He does them in the morning.
He does them in the morning. So this is the problem. So if you have a child who doesn't function well in the morning and you know that that's one of your child's particular things, then you have them do as much to prepare for the morning as they possibly can. Which means that in order to avoid that, you have it done the night before. Go to bed. Okay, we're going to say our prayers. Where's your clothes? What are you wearing tomorrow? Ooh, I need my sunglasses to see that shirt with those pants. I'm sorry. I am really sorry. Dennis, get my sunglasses. You got one of these weird combos again. Purple shirt and green pants just don't get it unless you're Rose McNeil. It just doesn't get it. They have more humor at night, your son does. So this is part of the updating. This is part of the updating. So now that he's doing that, you have to adjust yourself to how can you have this happen without happening first thing in the morning? Well, you do it at night. And part of the routine after you brush your teeth is you lay your clothes out and you have that conversation at night. And he'll be much more receptive to it in the at night because he's not as sensitive as he is in the morning.
That's great.
Or you get rid of the two shirts that don't match anything. You know? That's two shirts that only match one pair of pants. You get rid of the green pants and everything else matches. Michael has to have a pair of green pants, Stephen. Can we give these away? No. But he has to. He has to. Your nine size is too big, but he has to have them. Uh-huh.
I have my daughter, I learned about choices a while ago. So in growing up 4, 5, 6, she's fine with doing that. But I'm finding now she's 7. She's constantly throwing choices at me.
Oh, that's what upsets parents. That's why parents don't do it. Mom, no. You have a choice. Either you give me a cookie or I'm going to wake the baby up.
No, not even like that. She'll color and say, Mom, what color should I color? I'm like, you're coloring. You pick what colors you want to do. No, Mom, what's your favorite color? And like, I'm the one who, she makes me crazy. It's like, I have to make her decisions. And then no matter what I decide, even if it's...
Where did she learn that? Where did she learn that? Where did she learn to redo your choices? If you're going to give a child a choice, if you're going to say, okay, either set the table, either set the silverware or set the plates, the first few times that they do it, however it happens on the table is how it happens on the table. However it happens. I mean, if there's 9 forks here and 3 spoons over there, that's how it happens. You don't get to redo it. Leave it. You don't get to redo it. You say, thank you so much for setting the table. And then the next night, you hand them just the forks. Would you like to put the forks down or the spoons down? Well, I'd like to put the spoons down. Good. Put one spoon at each plate. Okay, well, we got most of them with one spoon at each plate, but a couple of them have 2. Okay, good, no problem. And then the third night, okay, everybody has to have a spoon at each plate. And that's how you teach them, instead of going around and redoing it. The most humiliating thing for a child is to think that they did a great job, even because they set the table, they put all those spoons on that table, and to them, that's setting a table. That's how I set a table. And then have you come around behind them and do it, or make your bed, and they make their bed. And then they come home, and you've totally redone it, and it's not like they did it. And pretty soon their attitude is, why should I bother? Why should I bother making my bed if she's just going to come along behind me? Why should I bother doing anything if she's just going to come along behind me and do it the way she wants it done anyway? Let her do it the way she wants it done. I just won't do it.
I did that once to my son. He made his bed. He was so proud of it. I didn't even think about it, and I just...
Started fixing it. Right. They won't. So if you want them to make their bed the way you want them to make their bed, then you have to train them over a few months' time. Come on, I'll help you make your bed. You're such a good bed maker. Let me help you. Ooh, let's cut this. Let's do that. But you can't ask them to make their bed and then go behind them and remake it, because it disempowers them.
So how do you correct it if you've done it already?
If you've done what? You start at scratch. Please make your bed. Well, I did make my bed. I threw at your age. You throw the comforter over the top, and that's bed made. Clean up your room. You throw the stuff in the closet. You throw the rest of it under the bed. Room clean. Well, he's right. You know, you can, like, see the floor now. You can see the floor. It's clean. Good enough the first time. Good enough the second time. Third time, you say, come on, help you make your bed. You start with one activity at a time. This is the way we make a bed. How about we, like, pull the sheet up before we throw the comforter over? Okay, Mom, I don't make my bed that way, but that's okay if that's the way you want it done. Yeah. And you teach them step by step instead of going around behind them. Or instead of just saying they can't do it, so they shouldn't do it. They have to have responsibility. Children have to have responsibility. Why? Why do they have to have responsibility in a household? So that they are a participant in a family. When children start having things that they're responsible for, even if it's setting the table or cleaning the dishes from the table or just taking the silverware off the table, When they have a job to do in the household, when they have things to do in the household, they feel like they're a part of a family. They probably won't readily accept it in the beginning. They won't want to. They'll say, no, I'm not going to. But as you train them, they'll start feeling good, and they'll say, that's my job. My job is put the napkins on the table.
Is it wrong to accept they want money for doing their chore? My son always asks them a dollar if he doesn't want anything.
Well, Where'd he learn that? Yeah, so now you have to teach him to do things just to participate in the family. That there are things that's not wrong to get paid for doing a job, but that there are certain things that you do for each other just because you're family. Yeah. I cook the meal. I told my son, I cook the meal. Daddy cleans up the meal. You get to set the table. I'm too little. I'm only 4 years old. Put the hands on the hip. I'm only 4 years old. Said, I know you're only 4 years old. I was there when you were born. I know how old you are, and you are a big boy, and you get to set the table. I'm only a little kid. I said, well, little kids go to bed at 7 o'clock. It's now 7 o'clock. Are you a little kid or a big kid? Well, I'm a big kid. Then you get to set the table. Do you want plates on, or do you want to put the silverware on? Which do you want to put on? Neither one. Then you can't eat, because in this household, we all participate in the meal. Okay, I won't. I'm not hungry anyway. Good. You go in the other room and read your book while we have our dinner. And I set the table for three of us. There are four of us in the family. Well, he comes. I want to eat. I said, I'm sorry. There's no place set for you. You said you weren't hungry. You didn't want to eat. You didn't want to help set the table. Well, I'm hungry. He said, yeah, I'm really sorry. I didn't set the table. You said you didn't want to eat. You didn't want to set the table. Well, but I'm hungry. I said, well, what are we going to do? I'll set the table, he said. I'll set the table. And man, he went and got that stuff, and he set his place at the table. And we never had the conversation again. Michael, do you want two plates or silverware? I'll do silverware, Mom. Good. Now I'll do plates, Mom. I can do it. I'm a big boy. Good. You know, like one at a time, praying that they don't break on the way to the table, but set the table. Uh-huh.
What if you do, they don't like what?
They don't
like
what?
For dinner. Like we meet a lot of times with Danielle, like she doesn't enjoy it, or she'll sit there, you know, for hours, you know, eating it.
Do you make your kids eat everything on their plate?
Usually.
Yeah, that's what doesn't work. You eat what you want, and that's dinner, period. You don't eat later.
But then they don't get anything else.
No. That's it. We had our dinner.
No dessert.
No snack before dinner, no toast before I go to bed because I'm starving because of that terrible meal Mother cooked. None of that. This
what
is dinner.
Like, I mean, the nights that we have, like they have treats. I mean, is it okay to, like, do you want dessert? And they'll say, yeah. I said, well, then you need to finish what you've got on the plate. Is that okay?
Why do they have to finish what's on their plate?
Well, to eat healthy food.
All right.
I mean, I'm sure it has something to do with I had to do the same thing.
Right. Is it because they won't eat? And does it work?
I mean, there's times we don't make them, you know, we don't, like, force them to eat everything on their plate, like if it's a really good meal.
Does your family sit down for a full meal? All four of you? And you set the table and it's like, good night.
You know what I noticed when I, like any adult you would speak to when they say, I'm full, I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to listen to your children, just the way they say it.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell by looking at them when they say to me, Mom, I had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Then I know that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of saying, you know, of course I want them to eat everything. You know,
yeah.
Just that little way they say it,
mm-hmm.
I don't force them.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be in tune to listen to what they're saying.
Yep. You just have to do it before he brushes his teeth. You just have to tell him, program, this is your meal before you go to bed. We're going to do this, we're going to brush our teeth, and then we're going to go to bed.
Because he seems not to be hungry until after he brushes teeth. And so I'm hungry now.
Yeah. Michael knows if he wants something to eat, he has to have it before he brushes his teeth. It's fine for him to eat, but he has to do it before he brushes his teeth, because after that it's water.
Could it be like a substitution to the bottle?
Absolutely.
Because that's what it seems to me, like, you know,
absolutely.
The cereal now is
goes to bed with a full stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you want to teach your children is to trust in themselves. How do you do that?
By trusting them.
By trusting them? How else?
By not asking what they did, by not...
Right.
That what they've done is okay.
Yep, just the way it's done, for now.
Get back on to the meal, the dinner thing, because...
One question. Okay, I pick Adrian up from school at 5:30. By 5:30, he's gone.
Of course he is.
I haven't had time to prepare dinner because I come from work.
Right.
We come in. He jumps to the refrigerator.
Right.
And eats like whatever, piece of bread and cheese and whatever.
Okay.
Then there's no. And I am hungry about half an hour later because then I have time to cook dinner.
Right. Right.
We get into conflict every night.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a child who's been starved. He's had days with no food. So what I would do with a child like that is I would make sure that I had peanut butter crackers or celery sticks or carrot sticks. I would pick him up with food. That's what I did with Michael. I would pick him up with food. Here is the food. Eric Kaplan comes to my house. If I know I have to pick Eric up, there is a meal waiting for Eric. He's starved. I haven't eaten since noon. And I mean, he gets vicious if he doesn't eat. He really gets, he's hungry. So if Eric's coming, I got to know in advance because I got to prepare a meal. Paul Marcus is the same way to this day. So you make sure that you take something with you that's healthy, that's not filling. Celery sticks with peanut butter in it. Right. So I would make sure that when I picked him up, I had something for him because it's very important at that point that they eat or they really get nasty. And that ought to solve that problem. And then when you get home, you can take your time cooking your meal.
This completes side one. Please turn the tape over for side two.